Lovable Janine Kimmel. Welcome to the show, Janine.
Hello, hello. It's that song. It just undoes you, doesn't it?
I mean, it doesn't. It's so. I just smile, and it's so funny because I can
too.
Hear Scott plays it on his computer. We have it all stereo around here.
It's wonderful.
It really is a wonderful. It's almost like the grounding to all the destruction that's going on in. Inside of us, outside of us, cellular, cosmically, that song just really kind of puts a wonderful, lighthearted spin on, you know, this too shall pass and we're all going to get through it. And, you know, it was interesting. I was watching, between yesterday and today, I watched all three of the Matrixes on video because
right.
There will be no commercial interruptions. I can't do commercials, And, you know, one of the things it was so interesting watching it from my present point of conscious awareness. And when there was a point in the third trilogy where Morpheus, this is, you know, Neo has already been to Space City and Machine City. And while he's doing his battle with Mr. Smith in the Machine City, through the Machine City's plug-in, the bugs, the computer bugs that were raiding Zion, at one point they don't disappear, they just go into a neutral state. In other words, they're all in with the attacking Zion, but they're just neutral. They haven't left. And they look and they go, you know, it's Neo. Neo must have done his, you know, Neo got to Machine City. And then when they leave, Morpheus says something that I profoundly understood. He goes, is this real? Because I've been thinking about this moment for so long, I can't even comprehend that it's real. And I don't know. I just really, I felt that, what he was saying, on just levels. I mean, we're not even at the birthing point, the zero point, and but getting there is, I've reached points of, wow, I have thought about this particular point, and I have thought about this particular point. I mean, I'm experiencing those moments on my journey, and it's like, you know, really, you scratch your head because it's, they're surreal moments, you know, because, you know, as children, well, I won't, as myself as a child, like, I knew all this stuff, and then, you know, the world basically said, no, 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 you don't. Everything you think is wrong. You know, the things.
And then
I was like, oh, okay, you know, as a good little girl, I'll accept that everything I thought was wrong. And, you know, here I am at 47 and back to flipping belief systems and not by anybody else. There's no parent telling me, no God telling me to flip my beliefs. It's literally I go within and, you know, the truth that I'm seeking, which we're going to talk about more tonight, because the truth that I'm seeking is actually moving outside of the matrix. And I shouldn't even say moving, being outside of the matrix. Because this is not a mind destination. Because the mind will show you many artificial timelines that quote-unquote appear to be outside the matrix. I'm talking about the birthing process of Mother Earth going into zero point and actually birthing Homo Illuminis, which is the next level of humanity, a humanity that is a completely different species because there is no eating, there is no, you know, there is no pooping, there's no energy feeding, there's not, the whole makeup of our energy is not about anything. We need something to survive. We don't need food. We don't need air. We don't need water. Our sustenance is alive and well within us, and we express ourselves as sovereign beings. That is who we are in the physical world. And it's, oh boy,
what?
Like I just said a mouthful. So, and I have all these things written down today, but it was just that, you know, going back to movies like The Matrix, Lord of the Rings, these are really interesting movies because you really, for me anyways, I see the subtleties of the messages. Because, like, one of the things I was very focused on was, after each one of the episodes, what was it that Neo was doing in each of those episodes to, so to speak, graduate from that episode? The first episode, he died, realized he wasn't dead, and then not only got up and was able to, you know, fight some more Mr. Smith, what he inevitably did is he went into Mr. Smith. And, of course, Mr. Smith is, which we find out in the third show, Mr. Smith is his alter ego. It's the universe's balance of, if Neo is the one that is going to end the Matrix, there is also a balance of creation where in the Matrix there is the one that will destroy the one that will survive, that will destroy the Matrix. And I totally get that because that's polarity, and I understood that. And then the second one, he's actually, the way he goes down, he's unconscious, which is an interesting, but here's where he's unconscious. He's not in the Matrix, and he's not, you know, on the Nebuchadnezzar alive. He's in a coma-like state, but it's different. It's just, you know, he's not animated. His vitals are on, but he's not animated. And for me, that kind of represented, you know, George is always talking about between the fourth and the fifth, there's a void.
Mm.
And I do believe, in my humble opinion, we're all going to, at some point in time, have to accept the void as part of the journey, if indeed your goal is to go beyond the Matrix, which is beyond the fourth dimension into the fifth dimension. And in the third trilogy, you know, he's plugged in, he's fighting, and it's literally Mr. Smith going, why do you keep getting up and fighting more? And Neo goes, because I make that choice. And the whole movie, they keep focusing on the power of choice. And the Oracle keeps going, but you have no choice. All choices have already been made for you. See, and this is, again, they're describing subtleties. So this is my interpretation. Nobody else has to agree with it or otherwise. But what I got from the third one, which is after they're done fighting, and I'm talking having sonic booms by colliding with each other, they're in the rain, they're beating the crap out of each other. The third one is very interesting because it's Mr. Smith puts his hand in Neo and changes him into another Mr. Smith. And I immediately got, oh, that's the surrender.
Mm-hmm.
Because once Neo became Mr. Smith, which is he also, Mr. Smith had made the Oracle become him. He was, Mr. Smith was going around assimilating everybody. It was as Neo's Mr. Smith then was now a part of the program of all Mr. Smith. And it was so because it cracked open with light, because we have this belief that if we're assimilated, let me put it this way. If your journey is to leave the Matrix, the stuff that's going to happen to us is going to be very challenging. But ultimately, if it does take us, who we are in our soul, our presence, our I am, it at any point in time can kick that intensity on, and it will just bust down all paradigms, just like, you know, my reference often is George Kavassalis, when, you know, George realized it when he had been put on these metal tables when he was abducted, you know, hundreds if not thousands of times, and they would do something where they would make him paralyzed. But when it was time for him to shift, his presence literally said, okay, now get up off the table. And George's being could completely override the technology of the aliens that had him on the table. I totally understand that. I totally understand that. And actually, one of the... We can talk about, God, several occasions, but I have found myself in violent situations, either being chased by 13 cars and going over people's landscape. I was going literally through brick walls, over tree stumps, through garbage pails, and nothing happened to my car. I mean, there was something going on in the level of presence that I was in and Alana was in when we were in that car, that it really did just, our presence trumped physics. I mean, that is because the Matrix is, it's a powerful illusion, but it is an illusion, and it does seem that there is something that kicks on with us, that when the Matrix threatens us the most, if it is indeed our journey to go beyond the Matrix, that's when we shine. So it really becomes, you know, it becomes a game of more and more to see what you can do and how indestructible we are. I mean, because I just keep getting, I think we need to preface this show with, okay, this is Golden Hawk's philosophy. Do not practice it at home.
Meaning
I'm not responsible for your actions.
right.
But I do want to, because I don't know, the more clarity I'm aware of, because it's not like you don't receive clarity. What really tends to be the truth is you pull off the lies, and underneath is the truth.
Right.
So I was afraid of so many things all my life that I'm just simply not afraid of anymore. And one of the biggest ones is death. And it's funny because I've been suicidal my entire life, but I've always been too afraid to do it. So there is a paradox there. I admit, I'm afraid. I was afraid to die. And I've put myself in several violent situations throughout my lifetime, and none of them have produced death. Obviously, I'm still here. But what they have done is produced presence, and that's an important an important distinction where, you know, I wasn't frightened and then changed because I was so victimized. I mean, there, Scott in his drinking days after his father died put his hands around my throat and went to strangle me. And he was very violent in those days. And the truth is, the minute his hand went around my throat, my presence dropped in and it literally just flung his hands off my body. And there was a complete shift of where there was a rage and unconsciousness in the room. After that moment, there was a presence in the room that he acknowledged, I acknowledged, and, you know, and I, you know, in that moment, put my clothes on and left the house and said, okay, well, you know, when the door opens of clarity, you utilize it, you get on that, you know. I had left the room, and, you know, I remember saying this many, many, you know, a couple of years ago. Listen, you know, everybody's like, because I married Scott, and everybody's like, oh, how could you marry, you know, the guy who's all abusive to you? And again, because this is my journey, and I'm not afraid of things that, see, my soul would attract me to these things. But I will tell you that through these experiences, I am learning more and more to, it's not necessarily, if violence is coming my way, I will deal with it. I mean, we'll all deal with it. And violence doesn't have to necessarily be people. Violence could be a storm raging outside, or, you know, a tsunami, or whatever it is. Whatever it is. All I know is that I'm prepared on some level through the clarity, through watching these shows, because it just feels like the Matrix movie is just like with the Lord of the Rings, how dark it's going to get before we get into this light. You know, I feel like I'm just reporting on the moment, you know, what's going on for me, because there's a lot of challenges. I absolutely have a lot of challenges in my life, and I have a lot of clarity going on in my life. And all I can do is report on it as it happens and share with you guys. And, you know, you take what you want from it, and you can leave the rest. And, you know, I don't know. I have so much to say. It's all written down, and
what?
I don't know, because I'm getting. It's just a feeling in me. There's a feeling in me that is like, you know, there's everything that can be shared by me. But I want to share kind of like things that, you know, what we think is the worst potential, what we think is the worst of times, can truly be the greatest of times when we integrate. See, I guess the whole key to this is you got to be connected with your soul.
Yeah.
Because the language I speak is from my own connection that I have with my soul. And, you know, I get it. And you can go, well, how do you know you're connected with your soul? And the truth is, I don't really know it until things like my presence drops into my being. I mean, it's that's what I'm feeling. So when I'm feeling connected to my soul will literally, if I'm having, you know, the looping thinking and the chaotic and the panic feelings, when my soul is in my physical being and it is what is radiating behind my eyeballs, when that is my experience, it's so profoundly different than the chaos and the panic. I mean, it's uplifting, it's peaceful, it's graceful. I don't use the term bliss. I'm not blissed out, because blissed out for me is really the connotation of more like what you feel like after you've done whippets, or you know, when you're on ayahuasca, in the sense of, you know, you're in a state that it's not about clarity. It's about, you know, a tingling feeling going on in your body that is you know, it's like a long orgasm. And to me, the clarity I have when, and the feeling sensations I have when my soul is in my body, it's not based on that kind of high. And I know highs and lows. I'm manic depressive. I know manic. But the clarity of my soul is not manic. It is just, it's a presence that is very, it's bizarre because it's paradoxical. It's very calming, but you can feel the flow of it moving through you simultaneously. And to me, calming promotes stillness, and that's why I say it's paradoxical, that it's still, but it's moving. So what I share with you, the perspectives I share are from that perspective, because I've been listening to Carrie Cassidy lately. We going to go there, Jeff?
Sure.
Yeah.
No, because I think that it's kind of an example of, you know, there are awarenesses, there are choices. I do think, though, that a choice is made consciously, and so when we find ourselves sort of unconscious and in reactionary places, you know, I just think that's, if we can, you know, look back and see that, we have an opportunity to realize, oh, I was in a reactionary, unconscious place, like you know, what you described for me about Carrie Cassidy and her interview with George. But I think that, you know, well, I was listening to you before about Agent Smith and when he puts his arm into Neo, and Neo becomes Agent Smith. And I think, you know, it's so relevant to how, Neo really truly couldn't come into himself as Neo until he acknowledged the Mr. Smith in him.
Exactly.
And, right.
Exactly,
and
my point, yes.
And what's so cool about The Matrix is, when I was listening to you, that, you know, this to me is all about the ability to be honest with ourselves and really not make too much out of that. Like, it's not really that. I think we've put so much on our fear about, well, what if I'm honest with myself, you know, everything about me. And by the way, your false belief system does fall apart, which is a really good thing. But
right.
I think we have this this fear of death thing so much that when you are approaching seeing the Mr. Smiths in ourselves, we you know, there's a part of us that's so afraid to let go of the artificial false belief system or the artificial timeline structure that, you know, we hold on. And later on down the road, you look back and you go, what was the big deal? So what? So what if, like, you know, it's called humility, you know, which is
right.
Fabulous. But
right.
But what I love about even the discussion of the Matrix and the artificial timeline versus the organic timeline and outside the Matrix is it really is just another reflection or paradigm of ourselves, which is letting go of the false belief system and becoming into, you know, our authenticity. And that's like, okay, so basically if you look at that, it's like the Matrix outside the Matrix. It's like if you're in your authenticity, if you've let your Mr. Smith put it, your, you know, hand in you, and you've become him, and you kind of, like, you know, burst through him, and all the structure falls off you, like the belief systems of the chakras and all those things fall away, because they're like obsolete. You know, they're obsolete to the organic timeline. They're obsolete
right
to the authentic
right
nature. And, like, these things are so fascinating to me and so interesting and so enlivening that I think that's why self-work, being honest with yourself, you know, getting all, like, you know, like, oh, God, you know, I'm such a mess, and then coming out of that place and you go, yeah, it's like, to me, this is like, I don't want to say fun, but it is a passionate kind of work. I mean, I think that it's so interesting. It's so not boring. every day it's like another new story, new movie. And so, you know, whenever we get into like our discussions and, you know, we come out the other side and it's like, you know, we have new understandings or new, and what could be so bad about that? See, that to me is fun. And so,
I agree. Yeah. Just so you know.
Yeah, I know. And so, this, what happens is you get past a certain point when being wrong is no longer awful and taboo and terrible, because who cares? You know, it's like, that's when the old systems literally fall apart, like those Matrix numbers on television when you watch that movie. All the numbers just fall apart. They no longer hold together. You know, and it's a great visual because, you could get excited about it, you know?
Yeah.
It's like,
yeah.
And so let's talk about what came up, because I think we all have Agent Smith, we all have what, you know, Carrie Cassidy experienced, or she may be aware of it or she may not, but you noticed it, and I think it's a really good example. So.
Okay, so talk about what came up for me with the Carrie Smith.
Yeah, Carrie Cassidy.
Carrie Smith. Carrie, that was a Freudian slip. No, okay, so that's right on. So I'm listening to Carrie's interview, her latest interview with George Kavassalis, and there's another gentleman who, in all honesty, I wasn't interested in, so I just, skipped that part. It was like about 25 minutes in, Carrie's interviewing George on his new book, and I've read the book. I've read it, you know, cover to cover as soon as it came out. I was fascinated with it. George is definitely, I understand that his philosophies really, you know, test the boundaries and beliefs, because I believe George speaks the truth that is, you know, I hear a lot of people say, it's my truth. It's like, you know, in all honesty, I'm not interested in subjective truth. Mm. I'm interested in objective truth, universal truth. George says the definition of the truth is what is.
Mm.
Well, I'm interested in what is.
Mm-hmm.
Now, George spoke about in his book three things. The Kundalini energy, he spoke about more than that, but these things are included. The Kundalini energy, the chakra system, and the pineal gland. And he essentially says all three of those things are part of the matrix. They are not organic. We have been programmed to believe they're organic, but they're not. They're part of the matrix and the artificial light within the matrix that is really here, what George calls it, cosmic candy. That we've been kept at a suppressed level of awareness for so long that when the beings who have been suppressing us through manipulation knew that we were going to reach this time in 2012 and that there was going to be a cosmic organic awakening, we're going to then come in and, you know, basically misguide our attention instead of going through the organic awakening, do this Kundalini chakra pineal gland awakening. Now, when I read that, I completely resonated with that. Because I spoke to a friend of mine. I'm 47 years old. I've known about Kundalini yoga and Kundalini meditations, and I can say that my Kundalini, quote unquote, has never risen. And it's something that I would always say that, you know, I guess that part of my awareness still is yet to be, because, people have talked about Lisa Renee, who is somebody who I respect a lot. I no longer follow her teachings, but she speaks about a Kundalini experience that, you know, essentially changed her life, and it's when the guardians, who are her guides, came in and started speaking to her from within. And what I get for myself is that, you know, the whole Kundalini chakra pineal experience is essentially for the souls that are not going to do the organic timeline. They're for the souls that want to continue in the matrix, you know, at this particular point in time, because the Earth is doing an organic ascension. We can either choose to follow her, or in my humble opinion, you'll have the options to leave the planet prior to her activating her light body and as George defines it, turning into a star, which is really just a progression of, it's how all stars are actually born, that they, you know, it's a frequency. Everything's based on frequency. So I'm listening to Carrie interview George, and within 24 minutes of her interview starting with George, I am incredibly tightly bound. I mean, Scott was in the room. I had my headphones on. Scott was in the room playing his trombone, practicing the scale, and like I kind of wigged out on him. I was like, "All right, stop playing the scale. Please, babe. I can't take it. You know, just go play it in the other room." And I mean, I looked at him and I was like, "Aw." Scott has been so happy playing his trombone lately, and but I could feel it. I was frustrated. I literally had to stop the interview and call Janine, because I personally have a fear that the way I saw Carrie doing the interview, which was she interrupted George, she didn't let him finish his perception. She literally was bullying him. and Carrie is somebody that I can see myself in Carrie. And so what triggered me was that, you know, when another reality show used to be on the air not so long ago, actually just February of this year, and I was doing it weekly, it showed up in my awareness that I started having more and more guests come on that I was not resonating fully in their truth. You know, they would share something and I would resonate, let's say, 50% or 80%, but not 100% with their message. And I didn't know how to reconcile that, because you know, it was a part of me that said, I want to share their information, but I don't want to share information that's not in alignment with my own journey. And I was at the journey where I'm confirmed. I am birthing with Mother Nature. I mean, to this day, I get it, that there could easily be, you know, 200 people in my area that, you know, go take another, you know, another route via their souls. But even if it's just me all by myself, I don't even know that Scott's doing this journey. I'm going to go sit in the woods until the zero point comes and it's time to be birthed. And if I die sitting in the woods, then I'm okay with that too. Because I am absolutely, this is what else the Matrix gave me, I am willing to die for what I believe in, as opposed to living falsely to be with the group. I used to be concerned about that. I'm truly not concerned about that anymore, because certain things have happened in my life that shown me, I feel very strong. My opinions are very strong about what I feel is right for me. And, I don't necessarily know these as universal truths, but they feel to me as universal truths. I mean, that just feels right to me, that the chakra system is a way to organize our energy, because when I think about all of life and all of nature, because this is one of the things I had written down that I wanted to talk about today, is the animals and the plants. Right now, when I sit in the forest, they feel very prepared to birth this anew. Like, there's a frequency coming into the planet from the sun, and I think it's actually even coming directly from the core of Mother Earth. And it feels to me that, because I have gotten messages going, you know, be on point, be prepared, you know, breathe, you know, a preparation. It's always a preparation. And when I have my moments of presence, I feel like on some level I'm above the Matrix, which was so funny, because remember when Neo was going to Machine City? At one point they got attacked by all the Sentinels. And he says to Trinity, go above the clouds to get there. And they fly the ship, and it's sunny, and it's gorgeous.
Because
he actually, and it hit me, it was like, oh, see, that's what the preparation of, where we have moments of presence that it just comes to us and we experience it and we know it's happening. Those are, you know, to almost avoid, you know, like when he was going there to do his oneness bit, you know, to save humanity, but it was really to integrate himself. He just understood that we don't have to fight all these sentinels getting there. Just go above it right now and then come back down, you know, when you're right in front of Machine City.
Yeah.
That, you know what I'm saying? It was like there was a wisdom that you don't have to fight every battle, Goldie. You know,
I think that's true. Even what I said before that, you know, there's even my way of describing that would have been, you know, we don't have to put so, like being honest with ourselves doesn't have to be so scary.
Right on.
Yeah, and for some reason we've all been conditioned that, you know, it's being honest with ourselves is synonymous to dying. You know, it's like, because the truth is, your artificial self does just kind of fall apart.
Yeah.
But I mean, for the true self, for the authentic self to be revealed, what could be better? So there's this gift, you know, that occurs by going through, you know, what we go through, and we were talking about this earlier about, you know, they're not outer, they're initiation, so to speak, and they're really difficult and challenging at the time, but you come through them, and, you know, you're forever changed, and you're cellularly changed.
Right on.
You know, and then I think those moments when you go above and you see the blue sky, and there's these pockets of awareness, and, you know, I think that you literally have, we call it anchored, like it's these things have become anchored in us, and I do think that there's this cellular currents. I do think that organically we are coming into a more, our authentic self. I mean, and so how, you know, and I think back on New Year's Eve when you had that idea to make self bow.
Marry ourselves. Yes.
It was kind of like, you know, do you, Mr. Smith, take Neo to be? It's like,
right. No, exactly.
Right on. And, you know, it's funny because what I thought was, I was thinking about this either today or yesterday, where to hold the paradox at the same time, it's to hold the both end at the same time, is really like a fun and amazing experience, which is really basically what you're talking about right now, where you literally are your both at the same moment. There's not this polarized deal. And you know, sometimes when you talk to me and we speak about it, but there's these moments where I can tell that you've reached that place where you literally have, you are able to, in fact, I told you that, I said paradoxical unity, where the both end is being held at the same time.
Yeah.
And there's no way you don't get there, going back to Carrie Cassidy and, you know, tell the details, but there's no way that we get to that place without having to, you know, give a bad interview, you know, look back at ourselves.
Well,
and go,
absolutely. Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
It's like, these are good.
Part of the journey.
That's true. Absolutely. And
that's true.
You know, by the way, only if you don't want to be fixed in your position and you want to go, gee, what can I learn about myself here? You know, or am I willing to? And once again, I'll go back to being honest with yourself. Why is that so scary? You know, I mean, I could apply this to myself, but it's like, why is that so scary? Why are we so afraid to be honest with ourselves? You know, like,
and if the choice is to be on the organic timeline, it's imperative. You have to be honest with yourself in order to understand, not in order to understand, I mean, understanding comes, but in order to have the integration, it feels like I don't want to give a wordy explanation for this. I want to be as simple as I can be.
Because what ends up happening here is, once again, there's a flipping of a belief system where, you know, you literally see that, because I've noticed that the way around and through and being is in the sensing mode. I'm in the sensing mode now.
Okay.
And, you know, and it's not really about the thinking and the, you know, it's almost like you're sensory okay, which is another flipping of belief systems, because the other choice would be, or the polarized choice would be, to be in the overthinking and the doing and the getting caught up in the,
the mind. The mind is built as a polarized experience.
Right, and in the sensing mode, there's probably some false belief system that you're in a less protected mode, but that's not true either. So this is a big
time for flipping
belief systems. You know, I could keep going, because now what ends up happening is when you're in the sensing mode and you feel you actually are in a very aware state, so the fact that people might think you're not protected is completely the opposite, but you're also resonating with the nature vibration or the resonance of nature and the rhythm of nature, and it's like that's like, to me, like where you want to be, you know.
It's beyond the need to see if you're feeling vulnerable and you're going, I'm not protected. See, both not protected and being protected, that's a polarity.
Yeah, see, I think
this
that's
is going
the
beyond
belief.
The need for protection. You don't need protection when you know yourself is everything.
I just think that's a conditioning. You know, I think it's.
Oh,
cool.
I agree. Yes.
So, you know, and by the way, and you know, Carrie Cassidy is a great example of perhaps she felt unprotected because she was being threatened by her belief systems, and what would be cool to, you know, if, you know, is to, would be to have allowed George to tell all of his, you know, understandings and his knowledges, and so let that just be. Why is that? So therefore.
Yeah, you know, what are you doing the interview for if you're not going to let your guest
speak? No, but therefore you can
see
that this was a person who was feeling threatened or unprotected, and honestly, the opposite was true, but it was a false belief. It was a false belief. Like, the beautiful thing would be if she could see that, like, oh, my God. You know, that's a moment when the belief system flips. I mean, that was a...
Right on. Yeah.
She bought into the conditioning, you know, so...
She did.
Yeah.
No, right on. Well, I want to share, because I want to add to this, too, because remember the thing I got this weekend, too, about the knowing and the intuitive knowing and what not knowing is, what Carolyn May said?
Okay, but yeah.
I'll share. You'll remember. Okay, so, and because this has to do also with, I'm just kind of listening to you. I'm a little scattered tonight. I mean, that's just the way it is.
Sorry.
And Janine beautifully just rides with me, and I hope everybody listening doesn't have trouble with this, but okay. So I'm listening to Carolyn Mace, and she's speaking and I have the interview. She was speaking to Oprah, and she was talking about intuition and how intuition is the voice of that which we don't want to hear. And Oprah stops her and goes, what do you mean the voice we don't want to hear? Oprah goes, wouldn't our intuition be the voice that, you know, helps us to understand and it's our friend?
Yeah.
And she was like, no, because most of our intuition is telling us, you know, we say to ourselves, all right, what's going on in my relationship? And intuition will immediately pop up and go, well, he's cheating on you. Or okay, I'm asking my intuition, what's going on with my child? Oh, he's on drugs. What we end up doing is when our intuition gives us an answer that we don't want to hear, then we go to, then the answer becomes, well, I don't know what to do.
Yeah.
And it struck me so poignantly that she goes, you never not know what to do. Not knowing what to do is simply the message that you don't like what your intuition told you is true.
Exactly.
And so you don't know how are you going to reconcile that, because if indeed the husband's cheating or whatever, or, you know, your kids are... Because, see, what ultimately has to happen initially, and it's so funny because look at the five steps of death, and you'll see how we deal with death. One of the first things you have to do is accept what your intuition has shared with you. Because,
yeah.
And it's so funny how I just speak with a lot of people, and when I hear people say, I don't know, it literally drives me up a wall, because before I knew Carolyn's, you know, how to define this, you know, which Carolyn Mace reads energy. You know, I don't believe she's just, this is not Carolyn's truth. This is the truth inside the matrix, that none of us have the capability of not knowing for ourselves. None of us. It's just an impossibility. But what we can do is, when we say we don't know, we have now just connected into time, because time gives us the space, time and space are connected, to figure out what we're going to do with the information that was just given us that we don't like.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah.
Which really kind of correlates with the thing about me saying, you know, what's so frightening about being honest with ourselves? Basically, why is that? Because then we're feeling that we're unprotected by being honest with ourselves, which in fact is just because we have to let, you know, what will end up happening is the false belief system, or what isn't true for us, will be falling away, which is a good story, but we're
right.
afraid of that. So it's basically the same thing, like the ability to be honest with yourself obviously could even be the ability to know what your intuition is telling you, and,
well, because we do know what our intuition is telling us. Now the question is, will we follow with the intuition? You know, will
right.
we accept it? Because the only thing I want to just add on to that, because through that awareness that we always know,
yes.
the clarity came to me, and this was through the help of the reason why I was saying the plants and the animal are under the matrix. Then we have the matrix in the middle, and then above the matrix, again, we have the lack of polarity. There's a paradoxical unity. I like that expression. That just fits.
Yeah.
So,
okay.
So once we know that we never don't know, we always know. We might not like what we know, but that is very different than saying I don't know. That is extraordinarily different. And so once we know, this was what I got. In the organic timeline, the way we move things forward is different than in the matrix. In the matrix, we believe that time heals all wounds. So that's saying every time the sun rises and the sun sets, you'll get over somebody's death simply because you'll stop missing them so much because more time has gone by where they haven't been in your life.
Right.
Okay, so that's the way the matrix defines, you know, the idea that movement happens due to time. You know, we go to school and inevitably we'll graduate. Everything in the matrix is linear. But when we're talking about soul movement is not based in time. Soul movement is based in experience. And the connection with the intuition and the absolute acceptance of what our intuition is telling us. And when I say absolute acceptance, I'm not talking about our mind saying yes, but our body saying no. I'm talking about what Janine was sharing earlier about the anchoring of our, whatever situation we're in, when we accept it cellularly, that is the stamp for the soul to go, okay, that experience is complete. Because it's in our body, it's in our mind, it's total acceptance. Once there's total acceptance, organically, the soul will then bring on the next relative experience that the soul wants to have. Because another awareness that seems to keep popping up into my field of awareness is that, like, throughout the whole matrix, when Neo's talking to the oracle as well as to the architect, which is essentially the mother and the father of the matrix, they keep bringing up the importance of choice. And the reconciliation, see, they never say these words, but this is what I get from what they are saying, is basically same thing George Kavassalis is saying. We don't have choice as personality beings and bodies down here in the Matrix. The Matrix being that we are, me being Golden Hog, Janine being Janine, is our bodies were created so our souls could experience things. So we are the avenue in which our souls are experiencing our what they want to experience. In other words, the choices that we're experiencing are not made by us. They're made by our souls. And I can tell you that irrevocably, you know, without a doubt, becoming aligned with your soul is one of the most powerful choices you can make, because it's the choice that says, the choices that come to me, like, I can't tell you that it was my conscious choice to be on the radio. I can just tell you that when the opportunity came up to be on the radio, my soul rushed to the front of my being and went, take it. Yes, yeah. This is what you want. Now, as a conscious being, when I first got on the air, I could, you know, my girlfriend called the radio station that I was on going, breathe, Goldie, breathe. I mean, I was crying. I couldn't breathe. I was petrified. My life was going to be revealed. And that I was going to lose all credibility as the definition of who I was 6 years ago. I mean, I literally had that fear. Yet everything inside of me goes, "You're going on the air. This is what your choice. You're going to do this." And you know when the choices come from within, and because I had never set the intention to be on the air, it just when it came up, I knew it. But the point that I'm trying to do is get everybody into the director's chair, because the reason why the Matrix kept saying over and over and over and over and over why choice was so important, because the paradox is we don't have a choice, not at this level. Our soul has a choice, but we don't. But here's what we can do. We can work with the choices that were given us. So if we're experiencing something that is challenging us, The key to getting movement on that organically, not through mental conquering, through mental fighting, through the polarity of I will destroy you, I will kill you. Neo and Mr. Smith clearly got they can't destroy each other, because in the world of polarity, there must be two sides in order for existence to be.
Right.
So the way to move forward in these experiences is through 100% total acceptance. It's in the acceptance of our experience that our soul goes, okay, I've got that experience, we're complete. Okay, here's the next experience. And it comes to us. It's a level of effortlessness in the sense of we don't have to create the next experience. I didn't create being on the radio. It was my soul had, you know, Carolyn Mace talks about sacred contracts. We have contracts. There are people we're going to meet. There are relationships we're going to have. And, you know, part of my fear, and I'm not going to say it as that, part of my concern is that the words that I share are really from the perspective of being in alignment with my soul. Because I have seen people who are living very, they're in challenging parts of their lives. They're in physical pain. They're in relationships that are very codependent and physically draining. And, you know, there's not sovereignty in those relationships. They're feeding off of each other. And yet I see them flipping beliefs, saying, you know, in the midst of all this darkness, they're going, it's all good. It's all good. And it's like, and, you know, because I'm watching this going, I talk about flipping beliefs all the time. You know, flip the belief. Get in alignment with your soul.
Yeah. But it's all good if it's just, you're afraid to make a move, so you're just going to tell yourself it's all good. You know, that's
it can be manipulated. Exactly.
That's like, you know, yeah. I mean, that's not what we're talking about, you know?
Right. And you know what? I don't even want to give it. I want to be clear that it's not what we're talking about, but I'm not. I like that. So, you know, everything in this universe, which is so ironic right now, everything can be flipped and turned, and, you know, there's nothing that is inherently right. There's nothing that's inherently wrong. And yet there are universal truths. But there are universal truths. You know, go ahead.
No, I do think that, you know, the practicing of, you know, I do think that bringing in concepts of our beginning point of becoming acquainted with our soul, you know, I think that to consider being open, to consider hearing your soul, to consider the practice of courage, I do think that these are, when you really are in some way, they are changing you if you're willing to say, because I love these things because they're somewhat of a dare to yourself. Like, you know, it's like they're playful in a way, but they're also serious where you say, I'm open to hearing my soul. I'm open to letting go of old belief systems that you know, I'm just justifying living this way because I'm too afraid to leave it. You know, I'm open to hearing my intuition. These are great kind of self-dares because, you know, and believe me, it will start something. That these are, you know, and so I love kind of offering that to people that they, you know, it's like, yeah, go ahead. And you know, people go, oh, be careful what you ask for. But it's like, exactly. It's like, you know, the word being open, the word allowing, the word, you know, I'm willing to listen to my soul. I mean, they are spoken and the soul's listening, you know. So I love that. And I encourage that because when you even consider, you know, I'm going to practice courage, like just saying that will change something. I mean, even if it's subtle, it doesn't matter. It's a really good place, you know. And so,
right on.
You know, all these moments where we either witness ourselves or we hear someone say something or, you know, you were totally like, wow, look at this Carrie Cassidy interview. I mean, these are moments where, you know, we have opportunity to go, you know.
Well, and everybody has that because, you know, these are moments for me to self-reflect.
Of course.
I'll tell you, if your journey is to do the organic timeline and to be birthed into the new humanity, there's no getting around self-reflection because ultimately the recognition that this is our reflection. Life is our reflection. Like this, I'm not quite sure how it works from a mechanical point of view.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, the people and the things that trigger me are triggering me because they're inside me. And so in that knowingness, you know, Carrie triggered me, definitely. So, you know, okay, so now I need to look at that. And, you know, I have talked to people who have secrets. And the people who have secrets, I find they divert conversations. It's either they're always looking to heal the outside world, but they're not looking to apply it to self.
Yes.
And they, you know, if they do reveal things about themselves, it's very what I call topical. It's just, you know, just something just below the surface. But see, I have a keen, you know, if you're going to be, if you're hanging around with me on any level, mm-hmm. I go deep because mm-hmm. you got to go deep if you want to understand. Because, like, I'm having an understanding. When George says things like, you know, the chakra system is an overlay. You know, it is not the end-all to be-all. You know, it's the matrix.
Yeah.
Now, I can tell you that when I was doing Holosync for 10 years, which is, you know, it's just a process. They had a sublim. They said, listen, you can tape something subliminally that will place in my voice on the recording to utilize the subliminal aspect of working with all these frequencies. And it was so funny because I remember going to myself, I only want to do this once. It was after it started at the two-year process. And I was like, I was looking through all these meditations going, you know, there were people I knew who were doing it that were doing it for abundance, doing it for health. And I was like, okay, yeah, no, but. So I did the meditation of a unified chakra. There was no seven chakras. There were no 12 chakras. Because my soul knew, I just want to do this once, let it last for the whole 10 years. So the whole 10 years, I had in my voice reading a meditation by Tony Stubbs, I believe, in the Ascension Handbook, which was a unified chakra meditation. Because I intuitively know seven chakras still must be in separation if we're going into unity. If we're integrating all aspects of self in this zero point to be birthed again, of course it wouldn't be seven chakras to get, you know, that just, you know, seven, one, you know, for me it's a no-brainer. Anyways, and that is just for me, so, but I'm going on rants and I'm kind of losing myself.
God, I like it.
Great. Well, the other thing I want to share, and this is kind of linear, but, you know, meaning it's off, but it's still what we're talking about, is when I'm sitting in nature, it is very clear to me, nature is kind of on point right now, waiting to do this zero point. I mean, I can't tell you how I know that other than it feels it's on some level been communicated to me in the hours that I spend sitting in nature. That's just, so it's like interesting because the plants and the animals, which don't use mind, they know of the shift that is, it's not even coming. The shift is here. It is already cellularly happening within us. Because I know I can feel it. My whole body is shifting and changing. My flexibility, my mobility. I just feel, the best way to describe it is it feels like my body's becoming fragile like crystal. And, you know, if I wasn't so connected to Mother Nature, I would swear, you know, I'm becoming 90 years old. Okay. But because of my connection with Mother Nature, it's like I don't have the knowingness to know exactly what's happening, but I have the knowingness through my intuition, which is that you're fine. You're doing beautifully. You are preparing to be birthed. Because this is not just about us giving birth. I mean, Mother Earth is giving birth, but we are that which is giving birth and that which is being birthed simultaneously. So, because it hit me also how we all know how to do this potentially. If we all, you know, whosever soul has chosen this, we clearly know because we've all been born. So on some level, our DNA remembers what we was like, whether it was a C-section or natural, it doesn't matter. We remember what it was like to be born. So when it's time to be born through the earth, we're going to be. And I just wanted to share that it's so interesting how I know the animals and the plants are what I consider, they're still connected to the organic timeline. But where humans had to go, we went through the matrix, and now Eckhart Tolle talks about this. He goes, you can go back into your animal space and be one with the planet, but you can't do it going backwards. You can't do it by not knowing. You gotta once we're in the matrix, the way to leave the matrix and be born with Mother Earth is you gotta go through the matrix. There's no, you know, playing in it for a little bit, going no. Let me claim ignorance. Ignorance is bliss. No. See, this is part of the way this whole experience was created is once you decide to be in the matrix, which you do at some level decide to be in the matrix, once you decide the only way out is through. And once you know the only way out is through, then you start looking to I do anyway. I've been looking to accelerate my experiences so that when it's time to be birthed, I'm physically and energetically and emotionally and mentally ready. And so, you know, I just wanted to share. These were the awarenesses that I have. I also had an awareness. This is through the X-Files, that ghosts, angels, and aliens.
Yeah.
If they're dealing with the people in the matrix, so to speak, the people in the third dimension.
Yeah.
They are still in the matrix, because any beings, sovereign beings that are outside the matrix. You can't come into the matrix, help us out, and then leave the matrix. If you come into the matrix, you just entered the matrix. And now you, as a being,
right,
must go through the journey, are
right,
part of the
right,
matrix.
Right.
Right, right. So our true galactic families, either you're going to experience them outside the matrix like George did in that, you know, where they came and, you know, literally took his essence out of his physical body to so he could travel through the cosmos, you know, beyond, you know, mm-hmm. beyond the cosmic matrix, or the ghost angels and aliens that you're dealing with are really part of the false light, because it's the only way they're dealing with you at this level of consciousness is if they're in the matrix as well. And, you know, so it's, I just had that awareness, and I was... Mm-hmm. Because,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah, and I just think also that, once again, back to what I was saying in all of this is, I mean, that to me, the non-matrix world sounds so amazing to me that, you know, it interests me so much. So, but to say it to yourself, if anyone who you know wants to, in terms of encouraging, you know, being more honest with ourselves or getting to know our authentic self is. To just acknowledge that the possibility that there is a non-matrix world and a organic, you know, organic timeline world, it, just to even be open to that, you know,
is
everything. Because
well, I think it's a sign of where your soul's journey is. Because
yeah,
you're right,
yeah.
There are plenty of people that say you can't leave the matrix, and of course, if their soul's journey isn't to leave it, then that would be a subjective truth.
But see, like just at a very basic level, for someone to even consider that they're not living honest with themselves, or they're not living in you know dialogue with their soul, or if someone were just to consider that's a game changer, so to speak, because
yeah,
you know, because that awareness in itself shifts a reality.
That's true. That's
right.
True.
So I love that, you know, I guess I just like to add these helpful how-to points.
Yes, as Goldie's on her soapbox. You know.
No, I love your soapbox, because honestly,
Thanks.
What I've noticed when we're in accelerated learning places that,
okay,
you know, or when I'm excited doing therapy with someone, or even with myself, all these awarenesses are coming in, and then they start to gather, and they all really are connected, and they all make sense, you know. All of our pieces that we're adding tonight, they all basically are coming down to the same thing, you know, which is the awareness of either being in the matrix or not being in the matrix, and the willingness to let go of belief systems. I mean, I was just, when you were
Or even a better way to say it, to go beyond. You know, meaning it's letting go as meaning you don't live and die for a certain belief system. It serves you.
Right.
And then if you grow from it, you can grow beyond. I mean, you really can grow beyond teachers.
Do you remember when you sort of equated Copernicus, you know, you said...
Yes. Yes.
Well, you know, George had a Copernicus kind of quality or archetype, or, you know, where...
Well, that was the zero point that we were talking about.
Right. And I just think that, you know, not everybody, I guess, you know, may see themselves as a Copernicus kind of person, but I mean, I know for sure that you and I both enjoy and are, you know, we just, this is part of our our breathing, our oxygen, to keep moving in the direction of pushing past that, to me, that explainable place. I mean, that's
yeah.
why,
yeah.
you know, and so, I mean, you know, I enjoy it, first of all, but it's also just part of who I am. So, you know, and
well, it's
I
authentic,
think,
right? It's authentic.
Yeah, and for the and you and I have both spoken about this. For the first time, you realize that your whole life has made sense now that you look and say, "Oh, I've always wanted to go there beyond the knowable or the explainable." That's always just been, you know, when I was little. So
right.
now all
right.
my whole life begins to make sense to me when, in fact, I thought I was doing it wrong, you know?
Yes.
And it's like, no, not at all, you know? And, right.
It
and
is.
So,
it's a game changer. That's the truth. And the game changer is understanding the world is round and not flat. That is the kind of information George is sharing with us. He is literally changing. I'm sorry. He is literally sharing paradigm changes that, you know, I get
perception.
It, that not everybody,
yeah,
yeah not everybody
yeah.
can handle the world being round when at the time they were all being told it was flat, you know, because, you know, but I'm not everybody. I can handle it, and not only can I handle it, I want to share it because I don't think enough people are sharing the world is round. And just so you guys know, that the truth that he shared that was so profound in the Copernicus moment that I had was that the organic aspect of us going into zero point, which is when we will compress down to the size of, you know, an electron and then be birthed out the other side, we have, that is why we are down to two strands of DNA. We're down to, we've gone from 12 strands when we first came in to two strands because it's almost like you got to travel light to be born again. Remember, keep in mind, nature shows us the caterpillar is, you know, turns into a chemical mush before it becomes the butterfly. So the two strands of DNA actually becomes our chemical mush before we get birthed out the other side into our butterfly, the human butterfly. And, you know, to understand that all of a sudden it's not, well, those goddamn aliens, you know, they're doing this to the water, they're doing this to the food. Now it's, oh, bless them. You know, they took us down
right.
to two strands, which is all part of the birthing process of the simplicity of that's exactly where we're supposed to be. I mean, I'm telling you, that's a game changer for the organic timeline. Babe, we have a caller.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, so, yeah, but and I think it's our beautiful friend, Marcia. Hi,
Marcia.
Area code 705, you're on the air?
It is me.
Hey,
hi,
how
Marcia.
Are you?
I'm good. I've really been interested in what you're talking about. living out here, I'm kind of quietly doing my thing, and everyone's like saying to me, well, you're not in a circle. And you're not, you know, taking this and going to that. I hear so much from the trees. I hear so much just walking around, you know, the trees and bare feet on the earth.
That yeah, right on.
Taking a course or being around everyone, not that I don't like people, but I find the traffic of talking about things, you know, the rules of being men and women. Even tonight, someone dropped over, and they're from a community. They're Ojibwe. And he says, so how's the land where women are becoming men and men are becoming women doing?
Oh, wow.
And I thought, what? This rules? Oh, my God. And here we are just being ourselves, you know.
Yeah.
So I didn't even ask him what does that mean, because that's his,
yeah.
you know, reality. So I just continued on thinking and doing what I was doing. But right on. I'm finding that kind of, you know, stepping out and really even identifying with the guides and asking yourself that question. I did. I said, I went right to the creator of if there was a central place of ourself where we're birthed from. And I said, all right, what kind of, this is me. I was in a bad mood. What kind of freaks are guiding me? You know, who is talking to me? And even that part of intuition that you were talking about with cattle and mice, I was thinking about someone about 6 years ago said, you don't hear very happy news, do you? I said, yeah, I do. Like, where people are having my birthday party or whatever, right?
I love it.
Okay. I hear lots of stuff, but I also hear the stuff like, your daughter is pregnant. I didn't
right.
want to hear that.
Right.
But I must say there's been an energy, and particularly yesterday, that is really hard energy. And I've been moving through it and decided what I'll do is sweep out my house and, you know, just be really as quiet as I can all day. Mm. But I've been thinking, you know, a lot about being directed and connected rather than guided by some philosophy.
Yeah.
And some fear, because there's so much stuff. Mm. I think I was thinking about, you know, maybe while you guys were talking, that's a part of the so-called lost things that the Native people have lost was the idea that, you know, organic, that it's not true because I see so many adapting to the chakras.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
collective idea, and, you know, it's as a woman, the collective idea of what we're to do isn't very appealing to me anyway, because it
yeah.
doesn't leave room to share how your soul expresses itself here. You're just uninvited to have a lot of things. So.
Yeah. That's interesting about what you said about indigenous people, but then you find them adopting the chakra philosophy.
Mm-hmm.
And that's very, I mean, my ears picked up on that, you know? Because that wasn't the natural way for the indigenous people, right? That's almost adopting, like, to me, like a false, you know, like a false belief or something, or kind of almost turning your back on the natural way or what you, or the, you know, the organic way.
Well,
so,
I think if when I listened to some of the older people, they didn't call it chakras, you know. It's just a way of being, and they would find that in nature. And
oh, okay.
It would affect these places of energy within their body, and they would see them. But now they're thinking and utilizing the chakra systems like they're true.
Hmm. Oh, right.
Yeah. And I you know, a part of that is, I think, adopting things to speed up the process. I don't know. I don't know. Sure. But
yeah, I don't either. I don't either.
Right. Because I understand, you know, I understand working through things. Because, you know, I want to share that Carolyn Mace uses the chakra system. And so I came to a realization that Carolyn Mace can take me to what I consider the crest of the wave of the matrix, because there are teachers out there who are teaching us to, quote-unquote, manage the matrix.
Uh-huh.
Wayne Dyer is teaching us how to manage the matrix. The Secret was teaching us how to manage the matrix. Abraham Hicks, manage the matrix. And that's valuable information, absolutely. But there does come a point where if your soul's journey is to go beyond the matrix,
uh-huh.
If you're actually done with the cycle of being in this third dimension, on, then those teachings aren't going to take you beyond the matrix. Now, George, his teachings take you beyond the matrix. So there's a discernment level that it's almost like George says it so beautifully in that you can utilize teachings, but the minute they become your everything, they
yeah.
just became dogma. And I don't
yeah.
care if your dogma is New Age or if your dogma is Eastern religions and deities. If and see, here's again the paradox, because when I take on a belief, I do take it on full, you know, get out of my way. This is, you know, on my radio show, I'm going to pronounce it as my truth and truth for all of you and, you know, God bless. But I am also, see, and this is part of, I think, of the whole manic depressive. You know, I take it to extremes, but life has taught me that there is also an extreme openness to me that if it's presented to me in a new way, you know, literally in a matter of a second, I can go, okay, I've changed my mind. Okay, I keep telling you left was the way to the Garden Gate. Nope, someone just handed me a map that they got from an aerial point of view. You got to go right. You know, in other words, I live it passionately, and I've had friends of mine go, that's so false, you know, for you to switch like that. And I told them, it's not false. I live the experience of where I am. Because, see, that's the language of the soul. The soul doesn't really give a shit if I'm right or wrong. The soul is presenting opportunities for me to have an experience. So I, being authentic to myself and my soul, I take that experience and fully experience it, shouting it from the rooftops, you know, and I get it. A lot of people go, you could do it quietly, and, you know, it would make shifting so much more easier. And that's true, but you know what? Then I wouldn't be authentically Goldie. Because Goldie, I do it, and like I said, I'm completely open to flipping my total belief, because I wasn't aware that the chakra system was part of a false matrix, but when it was, when he talked about the Kundalini, I mean, to me, all I know is my body never responded to Kundalini. I mean, like I said, I'm 47 and I've always said to myself, wow, I have not had my Kundalini rise yet. And so I always had this doubt in me, like, you know, there's something I'm not getting. And, you know, I want to share something that's hitting me right now that I wanted to talk about too, that I think is of, it's deemed important. And, you know, Marcia, definitely stay on the line, because I enjoy your shares very much. So,
okay.
So one of the things I was getting is that I see a lot of people, you know, on Facebook and stuff, and what they're the videos that they're sharing. A lot of people are focused on the gifts of awareness, the gifts of telepathy, telekinesis, clairs, clairvoyance, clairsentient, all the clairs, being psychic. And what I got was that, see, the soul focuses on the virtues. And those gifts are literally like side effects of the virtues. If you focus on just the gift without the virtue, it's literally like a neon sign to these false gods that your ego is literally running the show. And in all honesty, they love when your ego is running the show, because to them, that's the law of attraction that says you're manipulatable. You can be manipulated through the false light, through the candy of the blissed out state. You know, all we have to do is let them, because these gods, these multidimensional beings, they have the ability to have us perform miracles. I mean, and all you have to do is perform a miracle or two, and you're immediately going to be, you know, in the spotlight. You're, you know, you're on Oprah, and you've got your own TV show, and now you've got a whole new following that's ultimately being run by a being that is passive-aggressive, that all they want is to utilize your energy field. You're not sovereign. And but when you're looking toward, when you're focusing on the virtues of integrity and focusing on the virtue of literally the patience and perseverance, because I am so learning, again, this is through Carolyn, she goes, you know, when you don't get what you want, instead of looking at that as a failure, why not look at that as what you're getting is the ability to persevere, the ability to know literally what perseverance is and the capacity that perseverance has on a person, because to wait in integrity, that's something your soul wants to experience. And it's so funny. There's an actual, the elk in Native American or whatever, in totems, represents perseverance. I know, I got elk in my totem. And I'm like, it makes sense to me why, you know, quote unquote, the things I didn't get, you know, because I've really never been one to want, I shouldn't say that, I won't say never. There was a point in time in my life where I said, I'm going to do like Jesus did. And in all honesty, I was like, you know, and I'm going to have television shows, know, and I'm going to have sponsors, and, you know, because I've always had this presence that when I lay my hands on somebody, I know I can move their energy. I mean, I just know I can.
Yeah.
But what the soul has taught me is, just because you know you can doesn't mean you should. You know, this is not about me saving the world. What an egotistical thing to think. This is about sovereignty. This is about me understanding integrity, understanding having a gift to maybe utilize the physical world, but not from a, you know, it's like I've been trained in hypnosis, and there's hypnosis, and then there's stage hypnosis. I believe that enlightenment kind of comes in the same flavor. There's enlightenment, and then there's stage enlightenment.
Right.
And that stage enlightenment has a paradigm full of characters and very powerful characters that are watching every single one of us. And if it's all about the gifts and the hoo-la-la and the fame and that's fine, but you're going that for them, there's going to be a law of attraction. When it's the integrity and you're literally going, I am exercising perseverance as I have waited 2 years, you know, I've been waiting 2 years for another job after I left my full-time work with Wani. And, you know, and I'm going, what the hell, man? You know, I'm a great nanny. I really, and now I got a job interview tomorrow. And, Jay, I didn't even tell you about this. Me and Janine were talking earlier, and I said, I know that at this point the job interviews that show up must have some kind of they're not random. Nothing is random. I'm clear on that. But there must be some meaning, because I'm working through the truth of my journey. And come to find out, she sent me the her address. She lives 5 minutes from Scott.
Wow, that is amazing.
I couldn't believe it when the GPS said 5 minutes. I looked at it and went, see, and it just hit me. And I said, see, now that's what organic brings. Organic goes, I had to learn. And I told you that I was just in a cellular acceptance of, okay, if I'm not working, I'm not working, because the cell, what I'm working on is understanding humility, understanding that, you know, the new level of independent and interdependent and, you know, breaking free of more of the matrix. That's really what it is. Perseverance is the understanding from the energetic point of view that it's not the matrix that is going to create your reality. But to get out of the matrix to that point of view, it literally takes time until we learn to trust it immediately. It only takes time because we don't trust it immediately. Because ultimately, it's immediate. But it took me 2 years to trust that. I mean, that's the truth of my journey, because that's what, and I haven't even gotten this job yet. I just kind of really, I laugh because I'm just on point right now going, okay, let's see who wants to play with me. And, of course, you know, the woman's 5 minutes away, and I just went, oh, of course, because it's also about me accepting my commitment to Scott. So now it's not about getting a job 5 minutes away from my dad's house. Now it's about getting a job 5 minutes away from Scott's house, where life itself is showing me the incredible intelligence and harmony. It's so inherently harmonious. That is one thing you cannot deny in nature. There is no polarity in nature. It is harmonious. And that is, in my humble opinion, a strong indicator that you're on the organic timeline, is when your life is in harmony. Doesn't mean you got everything you want, but it's all working with what you have. Again, pointing to the level of acceptance. When we accept things, that's putting ourselves in the flow of harmony, trusting that we are part of the divine.
Yeah, and there's no substitution for perseverance.
Well, there isn't. Where else are you going to learn it? See, that's the thing we don't get. We don't get that in other parts of our experiences, you know, outside of the matrix, there is no such thing called perseverance. We are instantaneous, and we know we're instantaneous.
Right.
The paradox is we come to a place like this to learn the opposite, to learn what waiting feels like. Like, how brilliant.
Right. I mean, I just have been experiencing that with my book. That, I've stayed with, and it's just, and then I realized, oh my God, you know, and I got it to the point where it's being printed, but this has been 5 years, and the last 3 years have been very intense, and then all of a sudden I see that the book has its own, the book is actually handling itself. I mean, and that's been an incredible knowing, and all of a sudden I'm seeing, it's like, Jay, what are you worried about? That you'd like, you know, should I do this? Shouldn't I do this? And the book is like actually letting me know. And it's been extraordinary, you know, and it's kind of like you going through two difficult jobs, letting them go because they didn't die with you. And next thing you know, you have an interview with something 5 minutes away, whereas really, you know, it's been such a different but the same experience with my book. Like, it's like,
right.
It's like, and
the template is the same.
The template
is the same.
The template is the same. Yeah.
It is.
The template is the same.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which is beautiful. Why we can trust it. See, look at that. Now we can actually see patterns. You know, see, and that is what I believe is the beauty of us sharing, is the patterns will show up in all of our lives. We can all see the templates of, you know, it's okay to make mistakes, but the key to the mistake or being quote-unquote wrong is the accepting of it. Because if you accept it, the soul wanted us to experience that, because it's a paradox. We come here to, the soul comes here to experience that which it can't experience when it's completely aware. So Daniel Jacobs has a saying, coming into this dimensional field or this dimensional playground is a vacation in limitation. It's the point. And yet, once we have the acceptance of the point, we understand, what does it do? It brings us out of limitation. It brings us, and not by our own, not by our brain, the brain literally, let's remember, there's a left hemisphere and a right hemisphere. It's built for polarity. It's not the brain, it's not the mind. And as much as we say the heart definitely has some, you know, some wonderful magical qualities, but what's underestimated in all of this is the whole physical body. That, because when you were saying before, it's about being sensory. Our whole physical being is our sensory. Tool. The whole being needs to be utilized. Not, that's why the seven chakras. Well, what about the legs? There's no chakras in the legs. So what, they don't mean anything?
The feet.
You even said, Marcy, walking barefoot on the ground. I mean, absolutely there is something that literally, I can feel it when I'm in a chaotic space and I go into the woods. You know, I hike with hiking boots and stuff, and then I get to where I'm going and I take off my shoes and I dig my feet into the earth. And oh my God! Remember in Avatar when that energetic light went on the scientist when she was dying, and they were doing that dance to help her, change her life into Avatar's life. And that's what it feels like. It just literally, energetically, and definitely, I'm Pisces, so, maybe it's particular.
Me too.
Oh, right on. Maybe it's particular to us because the feet are the part of the body. I don't think so. I think that's, again, a system to segregate. But when I put my feet in the earth, it literally, my whole body responds from a cellular point of view, and I literally go, okay, I'm loved. I feel it. I'm loved.
Yeah.
And once I'm loved, okay, I don't need to do anything. I don't need to change anything. I'm so good right here, right now.
A foot rub.
A foot rub. Yeah, it's a love rub.
Reflexologist.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, but right, Earth way, because there's so many things pulling us. The Matrix pulls us into ideologies and beliefs, and they're very subtle. As George says, he's like, listen, these beings have been around. They're not really. They're in their light bodies where they're not living 80 years and dying.
No.
I mean, they have been around millennium, epochs, eras. I mean, we were talking literally millions and billions of years. So, this isn't about underestimating them. Not at all. And it's also about don't underestimate ourselves, that if the journey is to leave the Matrix, we do have the tools inherent in us. We don't have to take the classes. We just have to simply become aware of them. Once we become aware of our own presence, Nothing can enslave our presence. The presence it's too expanded to be enslaved. Now, we got to work with connecting the presence back into the physical body, because the dumbing down of the 12 strands to the 2 strands was part of the birthing into the into the new humanity. But in order to be at 2 strands and not be in a panic or a fear, you have these moments of presence that it just tells you you're doing fine. Life is good.
Yep.
Don't worry about understanding or having the documentary. There's a trust that comes in a split second of presence that allows you to kind of go in dumb but trusting. And I don't know if I said that eloquently, but I hope I say it more more from the place of, acceptance.
It's like surrendering.
There you go.
Acceptance.
There you go.
Because I years ago, I had, I stood in my living room. This is like 16 years ago. And I went, I don't know what it is. Show me. And all of a sudden, there was a flash. And this woman's face, her face was as big as my house.
Mm.
Just brought out of my body, saw her face, saw this. It was like stones on her head. She had like some kind, it was almost like a crown. But she was so big, I couldn't see her. And then I left it. I was actively meditating back then. And then I left that, and 2 days later, I don't know what's wrong. It's Friday night. I eat this Chinese food. I wake up about 1 in the morning. I've got pains racking all over, running out my back, through my stomach. And I go down, and I had a partnership with someone then that was a real teaching, right? And I said, I'm really sick. Can you drive me to the hospital? And he hands me the Tums and says, oh, wow, you're okay. You just eat Chinese food and didn't agree with you. So I go back upstairs realizing he's not waking up. And then I couldn't stand it. The pain was so great. So I ended up taking myself to the hospital.
Mm.
And I, drove myself in. Left the car running and laid on the floor, and it's not something I would typically do, and moaned, help me. So they loaded me on a gurney, went through this whole process, but in the morning, it was about 8 o'clock, no, about 10, people were coming in because I phoned my one daughter and said, I'm in here. And, you know, my partner at that time brought me the keys and or came to get the keys, where's the car, all this stuff. It was like a play of my life. But over here, there was nothing happening with him. And over here, all these people showed up, you know, all these friends and people who were awake to the energy. And I laid there and I said, I see now. I'm sorry. And I was apologizing to my soul. And I said, thank you for showing me. I am done.
And Wait, what
you
did
know
you
what
see?
Happened?
Yeah, go ahead.
It was a kidney stone. It was, the surgeon kept saying, look, take the morphine. I was on double doses of morphine.
Okay.
And I'm crying and throwing up and saying, you know, I don't know how people can take this stuff. How can you be a drug addict on this stuff? I'm throwing up. And finally I say at noon, I'm not taking it. This is terrible. You know, my mind's off this kidney stone now, right?
Okay.
And meanwhile, this play kept playing out, and the doctor came in, and because, you know, I had stopped taking the morphine. And every time I would close my eyes, I would see this beautiful, brilliant gold light. And I would say, I'm sorry, because I would see how... the choices I was making in my life, the ideas I was living by wasn't something my soul was too pleased with, right?
Right on. Okay.
And then at 6 o'clock, got up, went to the washroom, clink, medically impossible. They called the nurses, the doctors, the anesthesiologist. He had come to see me, and I had rang the bell for the nurse and told her what happened. She gets this panic look because I kept saying, I'm okay with miracles, and my doctor. and he's like, well, Marcia, never mind the hokey pokey, right? Because I'm going to be in a lot of pain. I said, well, I'm laying here, I'm pain-free. And he goes, well, what do you think you're doing? I said, I've already accepted it. I see what's happened. I don't know, you know?
Right.
And he said, look, it'll take a miracle. And I said, I'm okay with that. Kept saying that. And
right
I was so stoned. I mean, I'm laying there. Am I seeing this because I'm stoned out of my head? And then I went to the washroom, and they all came in, and the surgeon said to me, how did you do that? I said, I just said, okay, I saw. And he goes, what? And this man was so kind, so kind. He didn't even want me to call my partner.
Yeah.
He was absolutely, he was so such a wonderful, kind man. And I called him, and he didn't even acknowledge him when he was in the room. He was so amazing. But, I mean, I didn't feel the need to be mean to him because he was already living a mean life, you know?
He's
a good man, but he was, like, so blocked. And so after that, you know, that was one thing, and I had another experience. But here I am today. You know, I have... some medical things that I'm told that aren't great, right? But I don't know if it's from calling too much energy in, whatever it is.
Okay, right on. You're not afraid of it, though.
No. Well, I went from being stage 3 to stage 1 and 2.
Oh, wow. Wow. Right on.
And I don't know if it'll stay there. If it's my time and my soul knows when it's my time,
of course,
not much I'm going to do with that.
right,
I can
right.
enjoy everything that is here now.
I assume you've never done chemo.
Oh, it's not cancer. It's
okay.
It's like lung disease.
Oh, okay.
A lung
okay.
disease. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, so chemo doesn't apply then?
No. No.
Gotcha. Okay.
No.
Because me personally, if I ever get cancer, I'll never do chemo. I mean,
oh, no.
Truth is, I'd rather die.
That was palliative care patients and people in chemo and went to chemo with them and all kinds of things. And
yeah.
It totally depletes your immune.
Oh, it's disgusting. It's so disgusting. My mother was on chemo for 5 years, which is, truth be told, unfucking heard of. I mean, she was such a horse, you know, in the sense of it took 5 years. My mother did not die of cancer. She died of a collapsed heart from chemo.
Yeah.
It was because she was a horse, and she just, 5 years, there was 3 weeks that she took off from chemo. And the rest of the 5 years, she was on it. I mean, she used to work two jobs and get chemo in her lunch hour. It's like, you know, and I would say to her now, if it, you know, what were you trying to prove? You know, just how much you can kick your own ass? I mean, but of course, see, it's all part of the upside-downness of, was that a sneeze?
No, cough.
Oh, okay. Well, bless you anyways, love.
Thank you.
You know, the whole upside-downness of, you know, medical healing, you know, all of, you know, quote-unquote, the coming down to two strands of DNA, you know, because, you know, I do believe that there are ways that we will birth ourselves even if we're not physical. You know, in other words, if
we're
it's
energy.
Yeah, exactly. Yes.
And I've met people like this one person that I met on the phone and then went to see him. He's 70. He's a gypsy man. Him and his family live about 2 hours from me.
Okay.
And I said to him, oh, my God, it's like walking into a universe.
Mm.
It's amazing, there's amazing, amazing people on the planet, and they have no wish to keep you.
Right.
Mm.
Right.
Yes.
Because the truth is that you can't be kept. We.
It's so sad.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's part of the journey. I mean, because, you know, it really is quite the, like, It's very available to everybody. Leaving the matrix and being done with this is very available if indeed that's your soul's desire.
Yeah.
Now, just because it's available doesn't mean it gets handed to you on a silver platter. I mean, because it's either you're going through it does feel that there's the challenge of courage itself. Now, courage is of itself. It reminds me of the. Remember the virtue, the cliche that used to say, the gift of patience is patience itself. That is the gift of patience.
Yep.
And
how do you get that? By
being exactly. By being patient. Right?
Being impatient yourself and then being around people that are so impatient and want everything right now.
Well, that's true. That's very true.
And
say that
I
again.
Loved
say that again.
What you were saying about the gifts of spirit and how people are so focused on, you know, having these gifts when.
Right, right.
If they aren't grounded, if they do not know what they're for,
yeah.
They're just nightmares.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, yeah, I mean, to me, it's like missing the whole point, you know. You know, it's like skipping the virtues, like Goldie was saying before, and just going for the gifts, which to me then just, I don't know, they lack something because
they're lacking the love part of the equation.
Yeah.
They got the power, but they don't got the love.
Yeah, yeah, right, exactly.
And if you don't have love, you don't know what things are for.
Well, right, then splitting the atom becomes how many people can we kill by doing that?
Or how many people can we impress by doing
exactly.
that?
Well, exactly. It all becomes manipulated and perverted as opposed to, you know, because I, you know, you ever see that movie Bulletproof Monk?
Oh, I love that.
Yeah. Janine, have you seen it?
No, I haven't.
It's a great movie.
I haven't seen.
Yeah,
very profound, eh?
Yeah, it kind of shows us that, you know, there are clearly people that have tremendous gifts. I mean, it's funny because even the X-Files shows you, you know, there are beings walking around the planet right now that are, you know, really magical people. Whether the magic's dark or not, the truth is just from a magical point of view, they are running some programs that are some, you know, it's truly magical. And so there's just the knowingness that, you know, just because there are definitely, I believe, you know, Tibetans and, I think everybody everywhere.
Everyone,
every race, everywhere has, you know, to be quite honest, the quiet people who are kind of holding the frequency of this birth, and they're not on radio shows, and they're not on anything. They're not online. They're literally just the presence of sovereignty.
Not online. I don't know. You know.
Well, they don't even. Meaning, they don't even have to be. They don't. You don't have to know about them for them to be affecting the whole.
No.
You know, because that's part of the matrix to think. You know, I do enjoy being on the air and sharing, you know, a journal, so to speak, a verbal journal of my journey. I do enjoy it.
I think it is so amazing and so important for you to come on and share that way, because people are so hard on themselves.
Yeah.
We're, you know, this definition of goodness. You're born into this life, you don't make any mistakes, and then you end up being accepted by divine.
Yeah.
Untrue. We're accepted when we come here.
We are the divine. I mean, the only thing we have to accept is ourselves.
That's
is
what
divine.
We are.
You're right. Right.
So it's a matter of remembering and going, oh. And it's like taking those courses and stuff that we talked about last time. My most favorite people, and they are so real and so heart-centered, are the ones who have made the greatest mistakes.
Right on. It's one of the things that attracted me to George. That's exactly right. I agree with that.
I've met bikers who were tattooed head to toe.
Oh, yeah.
And they are complete. I mean, did you go to finishing school, really? They're so, you know, they went to lodges. They went and sweated and did their thing.
Right.
And
yeah, right on.
Taking
right
a journey, and here they are standing there, and it's like, wow, you're amazing.
Yeah, no, right on, right on. Well, you know, that's another thing, actually. I'm glad you brought this up, Marcia, because one of the things I noticed was, there's this a mini series called Earthsea.
Oh, yeah.
Have you seen it?
The lady, yes, I did. And the lady who wrote the book is angry about how they brought it out.
Well, it's very big.
No king and queen. It would be a circle. And they changed that.
Say that again.
There would be, that's a domination, that's a pyramid, rather than a circle. There would be no king and queen. It would be a circle of people. It would be, right? And she was really, I read a write-up, and she was really disturbed by that.
That little tweak is the difference between the organic and the matrix.
Exactly.
Well, and it's interesting because I enjoyed the series, and it's very it's what I would call a low budget movie. I mean,
it was great though.
The message, because I tell everybody who I tell to watch it, I was like, go beyond, you know, $1 million sets and just follow the message, because again, the lead character, was being chased by this demon, and ultimately the demon was him. It was his darkness. How did he get over the demon? He went into the demon. This is a constant reference of, A, we're going to integrate with our dark shadowy side. But the second thing is what I love, like with the Matrix, too. The hero, who's Neo, starts off as he's a hacker. He's making $2,000 hacking. And it's funny because when the first guy shows up, that the guy who he's going to follow, the White Rabbit, to talk to Trinity at the bar, he literally, when Neo gives him, you know, the hacked program, he goes, "Ah, you're my savior." And I'm watching this going, see, the Matrix has it all, that our savior is, you know, Jesus Christ, who is this perfect being, well, not everybody, you know, the religion, the Catholic savior. Jesus Christ, who is this perfect being, he never got mad, he never made a mistake. You know, like you were just saying, Marcia, you know, this presence of, you know, the epitome of being a good person, you know.
Yeah.
That can be our savior.
I don't think so. I don't.
Well, it's total bullshit. Because if you watch all the movies, which when they hide it in plain truth, you really do see that it is the dark people. The people who initially had some dark in their life. I mean, clearly, hacking programs, quote unquote, that's against the law. That makes it a shadow side.
Yeah.
You know, and I love that. If you look at these movies, and that's what Earthsea showed me so beautifully, that the whole idea. Remember, he wasn't honoring his father in the iron business, and he wanted to go out and explore, and you know, he wasn't following quote unquote the etiquette of a good son. You know,
I love
when those archetypes are shown, that first of all, we're all our own saviors. Nobody's going to save any of us but ourselves. And you absolutely, it's okay to come from the shadow side to do this. It not only is it absolutely okay, it seems to be at this point that's where it's coming from. You know, not
right,
saying
that
good people,
yeah.
Outside the conditioning of what it means to be a good boy or a bad boy,
yeah.
Or a good girl or a bad girl.
Yeah.
People, we are at we got a minute and 15 seconds left.
Oh,
so,
wow.
Yeah, this was
Marcia,
fun.
Thanks for calling. It's always so good to hear from you.
Oh,
right
on. For right
having
on.
Me on. Thank you.
It's fun. And it's,
yeah.
And it's,
enjoy your contributions a lot. Go ahead.
Yeah, it adds something like depth, and no, I just enjoy it. So thanks for calling.
Right
well,
on.
I enjoy even kicking back, listening to you guys synchronistically flow into your conversations.
I love your language.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. Janine, tell people where they can find you.
All right. Let's see. Thanks. I have
sure.
a website. It's jlkimmel.com, and that's KIMMEL.com. And I'm on Facebook, too, and you just go on Goldie's page and look under her friends, you'll find me, Janine L. Kimmel.
Right.
So, and thank you.
Yeah, and thank you, Janine, and thank you, Marcia, and all our listeners, and thank you, Art. I love you, Art. I know you're out there. I can feel you. You're always out there for us. And Lisa, and our guests, and Marcia, everybody who's listening, I know you guys are hitting up on in the archives. I'm honored. I love it. You know, we're all here. Feel free to call in, share your thoughts and your journeys. It really is the sharing. Really, as Marcia pointed out, it really does help. It helps us all to know that, you know, those who are on the organic journey. You know, we are here for each other, whether it's etherically or otherwise, we are here for each other. And I'm honored. I'm delighted. I feel great. And thank you. Thank you. Monday nights, you can find us at anotherrealityshow.com, Monday nights, 8 o'clock, for the Mystical Mother Earth Show. So thanks, everybody.
Hi.
Yeah.
The owl is hoo-hooing out here, so, you know.
Who's the hoo-hooing?
The owl. I hear an owl out there. It's going.
Oh, an owl! Right on, babe. Well, woo to the owl too, who's celebrating us on this night.
Marcia, have a good night.
Thank you. You too.
All
right.
All right.
Love you guys. Bye, everybody. Bye. See you next week. Love you all. Gotta go. Bye.
I'm so glad we
had
time
together.
Started, and before you know it.